The three most important feasts of the church year are Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. And the church very wisely wants us to prepare for those big feasts, with the night before being spent in assiduous prayer and preparation so that we can really enter into the feast, which then goes on for days afterwards, right? So the night before Christmas, Christmas Eve, we have the vigil masses of Christmas Eve. Of course, the mother of all vigils on Easter Sunday, the night before, we have the Holy Saturday, Great Paschal Vigil. And tonight, we celebrate the vigil in preparation for Pentecost. Now, you may not know, but there is an extended form of the Pentecost vigil, which actually has four readings, plus the epistle and the gospel, as well as the blessing of the baptismal font and all kinds of other stuff. So we're not doing that tonight, but one year I am absolutely going to do this because it is absolutely beautiful, but I'll let you know ahead of time just so you can be prepared to pray for a little while longer than usual. Right? But one of the beautiful things about participating in these vigils is that the spiritual reality that becomes a part of our lives in the corresponding feast, we just get more time to till the soil of our hearts to get all of those beautiful graces, right? And one of my all-time favorite saints is St. Philip Neri. And he has a very special link with the Vigil of Pentecost, which is why I wanted to tell you a little bit about his story, but also the fact that one of the beautiful things about the saints of our Catholic tradition is that good is something, when it begins to be diffused in the world, creates more good, right? And so when you have saints in our world, other people are inspired by their participation in the holiness of Christ to become saints as well, which is why it's so important for us to do everything that we can to open our hearts and our minds and our souls to become not just any kind of ordinary Christian, right, but to become the saints that we're called to be by our baptism. And in the life of St. Philip Neri, you can see that his openness to the grace of God throughout his life was something which had a profound impact on so many other people. And so I mention that because often we talk about Pentecost as the birthday of the church, right? As the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles in the upper room and the Blessed Mother, who were then sent forth to the ends of the world to be the saints that they had become because of that baptism by fire in the Holy Spirit, right? Well, Philip Neri was from Florence in the kind of central part of Italy, a little bit north of Rome, and he was a very bright man. He was from a pretty normal, observant Catholic family, and he went off to law school. You know, he wanted to be part of, you know, his family's business and, you know, to have a reputable vocation, but he was kind of generically pious, you know, but even to the extent that going to law school, he said, you know, I probably need to pray a little bit more, and started to go to Mass every day and to go to confession very frequently, to spend time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And he fell under the spiritual influence of one of the fiercest preachers that the Catholic Church has ever produced in her history, a man named Girolamo Savonarola. Now, Savonarola was one of these Dominican friars who is extremely learned and incredibly eloquent and articulate. But he also realized that there was a lot of moral disorder and decay in Florence of the time. And so, as a member of the Dominican Order of Preachers, he sought about preaching and teaching as a means to inspire people to convert away from these horrifying, dissipated lives in order to become saints. Now, the thing is, if you came across someone like Savonarola, though, he wasn't exactly the person that you would invite for a laugh at a cocktail party, right? He was an extremely serious man, right? And in fact, you may not have noticed a small little detail in the church, but you see these weird-looking chairs that are up here near the high altar, right? There's two of them. There's another one in the sacristy. And there's a face of a man in them, right? And that is Girolamo Savonarola. In fact, the chairs are actually called Savonarola chairs after him, because in church he would sit himself on a chair that looked like that, and he would thunder forth against all of the evils of his time, right? And this was a man who was absolutely fearless. And he would call you out by name in front of God and everybody in church for all of your foolishness, right? Now, not many people can get away with that, right? But he could, right? Because the people realized that he actually cared enough about them to be able to say, listen, you have got to get your act together, or otherwise you are going to end up in hell. Right? A lot of preachers, a lot of priests, a lot of bishops nowadays, they are absolutely scared to death to talk about these truths, right? Either individually to people or to the church as a whole. But Savonarola was not like that, right? But that's one of the reasons that we have him on the chairs that the priests sit in when they come celebrate, right? To remind us that we have to be courageous in addressing error. Now, Philip Neri was listening to all of these sermons, and he was like, oh wow, I don't want to go to hell either, so I got to get my act together, right? But he was an entirely different personality, right? You know, Savonarola was very austere, right? He was one of those persons who, you know, fasted all the time, who was in constant, you know, mortifications that we read about, and I'm like, how did you, like, live through all of that, right? But the Holy Spirit encouraged him in those things, right? For the sanctification of his soul and that of others. But Philip Neri, that wasn't his personality, right? All the saints are different. They're gloriously different, like each one of us, right? And so Philip was known as the cheerful saint, right? Because he sought to convert people, not by scaring them to death like his buddy Savonarola did, to great effect, I'd like to remind you, but by that cheerfulness and joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And at a certain point, Philip moves to Rome, and he realizes, ooh, Savonarola would really hate this place, right? Because it made Florence look like a Benedictine monastery in comparison, right? You know, Rome in the 16th century in many ways was kind of a little bit more horrifying than Las Vegas, if you can imagine. Right? It was the sin city of Europe at the time. And so Philip, you know, as a lawyer, goes to work, and he realizes this kind of restlessness, this disquiet in his soul that he didn't know what to do with. And he prayed and he prayed. And then he had this great devotion to the Holy Spirit. And so on the vigil of Pentecost in 1 year, he sneaks into the catacombs, right? You know, those places of burial where the early Christians kind of gathered at various points, you know, during times of persecution in the early church, right? He had this desire in his heart to be as close as possible to the early church, right? And in those places where the church was very much alive, even under persecution, right? And he spent the whole night, the vigil of Pentecost, in prayer, right? The whole night seeking God's will, seeking the conversion of the city of Rome, right? Of seeking a way to become the saint that he knew he was supposed to be, but he didn't know what that was supposed to look like, particularly for him, right? And this incredible miracle occurred in which his heart started to expand and to grow so much that it literally broke his ribs, right? And this heat radiated from his body. The love of God kind of just grew in him so much that there was this incredible physical manifestation of the fire of the Holy Spirit within his very heart. Eventually, he was ordained a priest, and because of this kind of miracle, right, he couldn't wear the Roman collar, right, because it was too hot for him. And so he'd wear it on the outside of his cassock instead of the inside, right? And people would go to confession to him, and they knew that there was something so special about him that they wanted to get to as close to him as possible, right? And would even, during confession, you know, put their heads on his chest because they knew that they could feel the love of God coming through him, right? Now, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, you need to get over there on the other side of the screen, okay? So don't get any ideas, right? But that says more about the coldness of our time and our hearts, doesn't it, than it does about the authentic witness of the saints. Well, at a certain point, St. Philip Neri, you know, is just living a normal life of a priest in the city of Rome, and he preaches the gospel of joy, right? And this was a time, you know, every time has its own one of the seven deadly sins that seems to be the one that everyone likes, right? I won't say which one I think we're living through now, but in St. Philip's time, it was particularly pride, right? But the thing is, people flocked to him for confession and for pastoral care because they knew the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of him. And he would do things precisely to make people get over their pride as much as possible, right? So he would have, you know, these very vain young men, right, who would, you know, who cared more about their appearance and their honor before others, and they would come to confession, and he would say, for your penance, I would like you to shave half of your beard off. Because that was Philip Neri, right? Savonarola was thundering against the newfangled invention for women called high heels, right? Savonarola was like, I don't know why you women are wearing those things because, you know, that's vanity and that is horrible and you shouldn't do that. And so one woman came up to Philip Neri with her stilettos on, right, through the cobblestones of Rome, right, because she was very upset at what Father Savonarola had said about her choice of shoe wear, and said, Padre, what do you think of this? And Philip Neri said, honey, you do what you want, just be careful that you do not fall, right? He didn't shame her, right? He didn't cast her aside, right? He didn't look at her and judge her. But he said, be careful, because you might fall, right? In our own time, as much as I'm a big fan of Savonarola, and I am, we literally have his face in the chairs of the church, right? I think a lot of people can't really handle that kind of medicine today, right? Some people, the tough love thing of the church, they can take, right? And that's a good thing. But I think that the cheerful message of joy in the Holy Spirit is something which can really convert the hearts of many. Now, at a certain point, Philip also began to get kind of itchy again, right? He wanted to go to the ends of the earth to spread the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so he wanted to go to India. He said, Rome is not enough. I need to go even somewhere else. And he had this burning desire for martyrdom, right, to be killed as a witness for him. And so then he heard about this other newfangled order called the Jesuits, right? And he goes up to St. Ignatius of Loyola, again, another saint, very different than St. Philip Neri, the prankster, the jokester. Ignatius was an old army guy with half of his leg blown off during a war. And he said, Father Ignatius, I want to go with you. Sign me up. I'm ready to go to India to live and to preach and to die for the gospel. Now, St. Ignatius could have been like, this is the best recruit I could ever have had, right? But he said, Filippo, Rome is your India, right? Where you are right now, that is your mission field. And so he went back to the parish, right, and just got on with it, right? Everybody in Rome knew who he was. Every prince, every pauper, you know, every important person, every non-important person wanted to see him, wanted to feel the Holy Spirit through his preaching, through his teaching, and through his presence. And so finally, the Pope himself said, we need to give him a cardinal's hat, right? We need to make him a cardinal. And so he sent his legate with the big, huge papal galero with the all the little tassels and things that you may have seen in the movies, right, to bring to Philip Neri, to give him the good news that he was made a cardinal of the Roman Church, right? And so he lovingly received it and then threw it up in the air to see how high it would go, right? He's like, no thanks, I'm good, right? I think that someone like Philip Neri is such a powerful and important saint for our times, precisely because of that desire for the interior life, right? Of really spending the vigil of Pentecost, not just as another day on the calendar, but as something incredibly compelling and special, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill him literally to bursting. And that had the effect of creating so many other saints and people who, they may not be saints that we remember on the calendar as canonized, but people who were inspired to devotion and love and joy. So today on this feast of Pentecost, on this vigil, I want each one of us in a special way, particularly as we come up to receive communion, right? That fireball of Jesus' love and Holy Ghost power, right, that we receive in that little white host, right, can burst our hearts with joy, right, and that we can share that and make saints of everyone around us. Happy feast day.